Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I am kicking off this week's editorials with a company introduction to Kennerland Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol KLD. Anybody who had listened to this last weekend show heard my first guest, Matt Geiger, actually mention Kennerland Minerals and discuss how he is excited about the drill program and really the fact of the matter that this company is now publicly traded. The company just listed about mid last week, but I do want to note that this isn't necessarily a new company here. The company was private for 4 years. The president and CEO, Zach Flood, who is joining me, he spent those last 4 years really building out the property portfolio and advancing these projects to a drill-ready stage. So far, the company has 8 properties in total, focused in Quebec and Alaska. Zach, give us a little rundown of the last 4 years. What brought you to this stage of now being a publicly traded company?
Sure thing, Corey, and thanks everyone for listening. In 2016, myself and the three co-founders were kind of at the right stage of our careers where we wanted to change. We saw that the markets were sort of shifting in terms of sentiment, and we wanted to go out and try to do something ourselves and do it organically. And so we started a private company, Kennerland Minerals. Then our focus was going to be in the greenfields exploration space. And the reason why we wanted to focus there was our industry has had a significant lack of discoveries over the past few decades. And I don't think it's because they aren't there. I think it's more because people just hadn't really been looking and doing the work it takes to generate bona fide discoveries out there. And there was a lot of open ground. So at that time, that was kind of the model we came up with, was go out, identify large areas of prospective ground, stake them, for low cost. And because we were private and there's still a limited access to capital, we kind of leaned towards that project generation model. And so we started out with one project in the Abitibi and kind of brought in, did a deal on that one, and then staked another land package up in Alaska, and then staked another land package in Quebec, and got a deal with Freeport up in Alaska, and got a deal with Sumitomo in Quebec, and then did another deal with Sumitomo in Quebec, and now we have another option agreement with Newmont in Quebec as well, and we've got over 400,000 hectares of mineral tenure, and we made a discovery last year. So we've really just kind of consistently, I think, added value over the last 4 years and built this portfolio and built our relationships with industry players and as well in the capital markets but I mean, to answer your question, that was the objective: go out there and make new discoveries.
Okay. And this is really a hybrid model here. You are a prospect generator in a sense that you have a couple large companies doing some of the exploration on some of your projects, both in Alaska and Quebec. But you guys are also an exploration company in the sense that you have some drill programs planned. Now, again, you have 8 projects in total. You have broken them down into 3 flagship projects and 5 pipeline projects. Let's start off with the Frotette project in Quebec. This is one of the flagship projects. What's the status of this project in terms of past work that's been on this asset?
Yeah, so the Frotette project is started as what I would call a pipeline project, or it's at the same sort of stage as the rest of our pipeline projects. But initially, we identified a large area, greenstone belt in northern Quebec. There's one major deposit in it called Troilus. It's about a 7 million ounce endowment. But when we looked at the belt, it's all covered with till. There have been no big systematic kind of geochemical surveys carried out, aside from lake sediment sampling in the 70s, but no big till surveys, because that's a good medium to sample if you're looking for mineral systems. Is you sample the glacial till, which is kind of smeared across the Canadian Shield. And so we identified this large area of open greenstone belt up there. We staked about 56,000 hectares in 2017. In 2018, we signed an agreement, an earn-in agreement with Sumitomo. So they started funding exploration and we were the operator. We covered the entire 57,000 hectares with till sampling. That was on about 1.5 kilometer space lines and 250 meter space samples. So really systematic approach there, covered the whole belt, just sort of ignored all the mineral occurrences that are that were already found and just wanted to kind of start from scratch. And at the end of 2018, once we had that first pass done, we recognized a couple areas. Maybe there was only really two or three areas that we were interested in following up on. One of them seemed to be quite interesting and had really high gold tenor in the soil. And so in 2019, we did a follow-up program where it was, again, just really detailed, systematic till sampling in those areas of interest. And as we started to fill in the data, there was a pretty clear indication that there was a dispersion plume in the till, and hopefully not getting too technical, but basically the glacier had scraped over a top of a gold system and deposited that material down ice. And so you can basically look for that plume or that that till train, and then the idea in glacial exploration in these glacial environments is to follow that till train back to the source. And so we had identified this big till plume with lots of gold in it in an area of the belt that didn't have any mineral occurrences, and there had been there's no outcrop in that area. It's completely covered. So we knew that we were onto something new and something that had not been recognized before. And then in 2020, we flew detailed geophysics. We did IP, induced polarization geophysical surveys on the ground, because again, you're targeting basically just geophysics because there's no outcrop anywhere. And we put about 7,800 meters of drilling into it at the beginning of 2020. Early in the year, and we ended up hitting 29 meters at 8.5 grams on that first pass drill program, including 11 meters at 18 grams, which is phenomenal for a first pass drill program into a greenfields target. And not only that, we hit various other gold bearing structures with high grade mineralization, including over 3.75 meters at 16 grams, 2.66 meters at 33 grams. And a number of other hits over about a 2 kilometer strike length. You know, it was quite apparent that there is a significant gold system here. This isn't just a gold occurrence, but I think an actual, you know, large system, and no one had ever found it before us. So that's kind of what every geologist dreams of, is to find something new, and that's kind of where the project's at now. So we've had that first pass of drilling on it. Identified the system. We've since then infilled. This last summer, we infilled a lot of the geochemistry, and we did more, and we're doing more high resolution geophysics, including more IP all the way along trend. You know, we have 2 kilometers kind of drilled off on this now, but we suspect that the system could grow along trend as well, and there's more areas of increased anomalism. So it's really exciting, and you know, we should have all of our targets picked out by the end of January, early February, and we're going to put two drills back in there in March and April, and put another about 9,000 meters of drilling into the discovery area, and also testing along trend to the south. So it's really at that discovery stage. It's super exciting, and it's a nice looking gold system, and it's in Quebec, which is one of the best places to explore and develop a mine in Canada.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you guys arguably have already made this discovery now, this 9,000 meters. I guess it's about showing the potential size and scale. But in terms of that 9,000 meters, is everything permitted, and what other steps do you need to undertake to get to actual drilling?
So we've been doing all that work kind of leading up to this program. We put in a camp there at the end of the year. So we've got about a 40-man camp on site, and everything's permitted. And we're just now kind of commencing the big IP survey that's going to cover 5 kilometers of the trend there. And that's really been the most effective tool for finding mineralization, because you have disseminated sulfides that kind of are a halo around these high-grade quartz veins, so you can actually kind of pick this up in the geophysics. quite well. So yeah, I mean, really the only final piece is to carry out the survey and then process the data and do the targeting, and we'll be, you know, drilling in March and carrying on through March and April.
All right, let's move over to Alaska for the other two flagship projects, Healy and Tanacross. These are two different projects, and from my understanding, they will be drilled a little bit later in the year when you can get up to Alaska and start drilling, slightly after Frotet. Please give us just a general overview of A, what drew you to Alaska, and give us a little bit of insights, first and foremost, on the Tanacross project, please.
Okay, so, you know, we were first attracted to Alaska because there's way less competition up there. It is a challenging place to explore. You have, you know, the foreign exchange, you know, the dollar. So Canadian dollar doesn't go as far up there. It's expensive in general. But that presented an opportunity. There's also a big lack of public data available as well. So we recognized Alaska as an area that probably has seen less exploration than most parts of Canada. The Yukon have been getting a lot of attention in the last decade since some big discoveries there, like coffee and white gold. And so the geology goes right across the border and continues up, you know, through up to Fort Knox and Pogo, up by Fairbanks. So there's no doubt there's a huge endowment of minerals in Alaska. It's very mining friendly, but it just hasn't seen, I don't think, as much exploration as many parts of Canada. So that's kind of, I guess, initially why what brought us there. In terms of the two projects that we're calling that are our flagships there, Tanacross and Healy, they're two completely different styles of mineralization. So the Tanacross project is a porphyry copper gold project. It's in a very similar geologic setting as Casino. Casino, of course, is an undeveloped porphyry copper gold project in the Yukon, just over the border, and it's about 3 billion tons. So it's one of the larger porphyry copper systems in North America. And Tanacross is sitting in a very similar geologic setting. It's the same age, mineralization and intrusions as Casino. And there's a very large hydrothermal alteration system at the Tanacross project. There's about 30 square kilometers of hydrothermal alteration, which surrounds currently three known porphyry centers. Historically, there's been a lot of work done there, even since the 70s. People, you know, it's hard to hide a huge alteration system, but it's harder to find kind of the core of these things. And one area that has been a focus historically was East Taurus, where they hit about the best drilling up there is like 239 meters of 0.3 copper, 0.23 grams per ton gold, and 0.036 moly, which is kind of just around 0.6 copper equivalent. So it's got decent grades for northern Cordillera and porphyry systems. But it was the size of the alteration footprint which really drove us there. It was the overall geologic setting. And again, this kind of understanding that there hasn't been a lot of modern exploration up in Alaska in the systematic sense. So even though this thing was discovered in the 70s and explored intermittently, no one had done any real kind of property-wide regional geochemical sampling or any modern geophysics on it. So this is the real opportunity. We know we're in the right area. There's obviously a big footprint. There's multiple mineral systems. There's proven kind of grades, you know, that you're looking at, you know, upwards of over 0.2 grams per ton gold in porphyry systems, quite gold rich. And but we feel like the opportunity here is again in that greenfield space, in that exploration space. So looking around that area. And so we acquired a lot of data over the last couple of years. We had Freeport funding exploration up there, and they pulled out when the market crashed in March due to the COVID pandemic, and we got the project back 100%. And this year we're really stepping out, and we're gonna utilize those property-wide data sets and generate more targets. There's two areas in particular that have a lot of greenfields discovery potential: South Taurus and Big Creek. We're really just going to focus on South Taurus, which is a huge EM conductivity anomaly with hydrothermal alteration on the surface and a big mag high associated with it as well. There's no outcrop in that area. It's all lower topography. There's really deep soil development in this part of Alaska. It's never been glaciated, so that you could definitely hide a system. There's no doubt that there could be something lurking out there. So we're just going to, you know, go in there early summer and start doing systematic mapping and geochemical sampling and detailed geophysics, further detailed geophysics on the South Taurus target and East Taurus as well. And then around August and September, we'll be putting just over 2,000 meters to kind of get a look at what's in the ground there. So that's, again, a porphyry copper asset, and that's Tanacross.
All right, let's get a little bit more color on the other project held in Alaska, the Healy Project. Please give us a bit of a summary here of what you like and what work you guys are going to be doing.
Healy is a gold project, and it's in the Good Pasture District. And the Good Pasture District hosts Pogo, which is an operating mine owned by Northern Star, an Australian company. And Pogo's got about 10 million ounce plus endowment. So it's a very large gold system. It's very high grade. The Good Pasture District is one of the major districts in Alaska, although there's only really one major gold system in it. So again, similar to the Frotet project, we identified a district that has a singular, very large gold system. The odds are that there's probably at least one other gold system of significance around there. There's some other gold occurrences, obviously. But we were not the ones to actually identify Healy itself, the project. That was Newmont. They spent about 2 years of doing regional systematic stream sampling across eastern Alaska in 2010, 2011. And this area lit up in that survey as a cluster of stream catchments that were pretty anomalous in gold. And so they staked it. There was no previous mineral occurrences there at all. The project today covers about 18,000 hectares. And then in 2012-2013, Newmont continued to explore it systematically. They did regional ridge and spur soil sampling and then grid soil sampling and identified some big soil anomalies, gold, arsenic, and antimony. What's the most fascinating about this project is that there are no known mineral occurrences there in any public databases. And there was no work filed with the government either, which means there's no recorded exploration on the project. So this gold system has been sitting out there for millions of years, and no one had identified it. And Newmont really honed in on it using that systematic approach, which a lot of juniors wouldn't be able to do, 2 years of stream sampling across that big of an area. So all these factors kind of really attracted us to it. In 2013, Newmont kind of put it on the shelf. Obviously, the markets were not great then. Maybe that was a reason for doing so. But in 2018, more work had to be spent on the claims. It was not priority for them. It was still early stage. And so we ended up signing a deal and signing an option to earn into the project. And that option is about US $4 million over 4 years in the ground to earn 70%. And we've completed about US $1 million to date. We've gone in, we've done a lot of more detailed geochemistry and detailed geophysics. We did a little bit of scout drilling, which intersected broad areas of low-grade gold mineralization, but over a very wide area, which indicates that there is a big gold system in the ground. But that was a very limited program. We only put about a total of 800 meters into it then. And now, after all the work we did last year, including those detailed geophysical and geochemical surveys, we have drilled targets. And so now all we got to do is go in there and drill them and drill test them and put diamond drilling into the bedrock and see what's there. And I think it's really important when you're at the greenfield stage that you give it enough drilling to kind of warrant continuing, or you kill the project. And for us, that's about 4,000 meters into a greenfields target. So that's what we're going to drill this year. And we're going to kick that off early June and be drilling June and July. And so we're testing pretty much every target on this project. There's about three main target areas, but we've generated about 10 to 15 targets that we'll be testing depending on how the drilling goes, but a very systematic test of a brand new gold system in the Good Pasture District, and hopefully find that other deposit, which we think is out there.
Okay, so one thing to note on the back of all this exploration that you have planned, approximately 15,500 meters Are you cashed up for all of this too? I understand the company raised money at the beginning of November in a $10 million deal.
Yeah, that's right. So today we have about $9.5 million in cash in the treasury. We are also bringing revenue in through operating projects in Quebec with our partners. We're fully funded for these. All these programs are permitted as well. We have drill permits in hand. So it's just a matter of going out there and now doing the work, which is kind of the fun part.
Yeah, it is. Well, and that's the exciting thing about this company now being public and with cash in the bank. You are more going after these projects when it comes to drilling. Zach, let's just get a quick little background on you, please. It's your first time on the show. I've actually met you a couple times. I'm impressed with really your background and how you've put together this company, but give all of our listeners a little update on what you've done in this sector.
Sure. So I'm a geologist by trade. I've been in the business for a very long time. My father was also in the industry. He was a geologist by trade as well. And he kind of sent me out into the field even when I was about 18 years old. I was in Mongolia. That was kind of my first field program. As a geologist assistant out there at Oyu Tolgoi. So I've been exposed to it from a very young age. After I got my degree, I just, kept carrying on, worked for some juniors in North America and South America, got a little more international experience in Africa and China and back to South America and all over North America. So I kind of been around the world, looked at a lot of different types of systems, managed exploration at various stages. I really got a really good handle on kind of the big picture when I was in the Ivanhoe Group. I spent a number of years there undertaking project generation and business development and evaluating early to advanced stage assets during the downturn that we were looking to acquire. So I've evaluated everything from greenfields all the way up to feasibility stage, resource modeling, cash flow modeling. But really, I think my passion is in that earlier stage in the real exploration, looking to make new discoveries. And that's myself. The other two co-founders, there's three other co-founders, but two of them had spent most of their career with Newmont. So Francis McDonald, our executive vice president of exploration, he was in Burkina Faso and Ethiopia with Newmont doing major regional exploration. So he's got a really good handle on the large scale kind of regional approach. Scott Smits was doing project evaluations for Newmont in North America for almost a decade. He's got a really good handle on structural geology and deposit scale sort of evaluations and targeting. And then Dave Stevenson, our other co-founder, who I spent a number of years working with him and with some juniors in North America and South America. And then he went down to the University of Western Australia to complete a postdoc at the Center of Exploration Targeting, which is a very forward-thinking group and he was focusing on structural geophysics, big, large-scale potential field data sets and mineral systems, which is, all of these characteristics of all the co-founders in the team and our experiences really came together well, and we bring different things to the table. But at the end of the day, we're trying to look at the big picture and go out and do things in a large-scale way to give ourselves and our shareholders the best opportunity to be exposed to new discoveries.
And that's what this company is all about, right? Going out there and trying to make new discoveries or even forward some of the early-on discoveries that you have made. Couple quick comments to wrap us up here. Share structure. It's a tight share structure. Outstanding 45.5 million shares. Fully diluted basis, about 55.5 million shares. Management also holds about 51% of those shares. In full disclosure, I am also a shareholder of Kennerland Minerals. I will be following up with Zach as more news hits the market. But look, there's a lot going on with this company, a lot of different projects. I'm going to post a link to the company's website, and I recommend reading over their company presentation. And please send me any questions, whether or regarding any part of the company that you have for Zach, and I will get those answered for you. Zach, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Corey. I appreciate it. Anytime.